The recordings have started. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you ever so much, Richard. If you don't mind, Carlos, I'll just do a quick roll call and then I'll hand the call over to you. Thank you ever so much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the CWG Unconscious Territory Names on the 24th of August, 2015. On the call today, we have Carlos Al Gutierrez, Maxime Alzober, Sana Salman, Sarah Langdonol, Jacqueline Morris, Jordi Paraguiri, Colin O'Brien, Heather Forrest, Mayana Tazik, Susan Payne, and Yapak Ohis. We received apologies from Olga Cavalli, Annabeth Lang, Laura Hutchinson, and Yuki Blacken. From staff, we've got Marika Koenig, Bart Buswinkle, Lars Hoffman, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Carlos.
Thank you very much. Hello to everybody. Special thanks for the people who woke up so early this morning. And let me start by looking at the agenda that we have. We had a rather short call last time that Paul Schindler chaired. That call, we went over the document that we had completed by that time. It was basically the two-letter code section. It was a very useful exercise to get the whole history together, and it was 2-3 weeks ago, and I haven't heard anything on that issue anymore. So the first question to the group is if we can accept the present status of the section and two-letter code and freeze it and leave it as such so we can continue on three-letter codes and names for the time being. Of course, there will be an opportunity to go back to the document when we have assembled the complete document. So I would like to ask the room if there are any comments on that document. For reference, I have asked Lars to specify exactly which document we are referring to, and this is the version that we have on the screen, I assume, Lars, which is version May 1st, DB, edit screen. Is that right, Lars?
Carlos, thank you. This is Lars. The version... I have a problem with my ICO memory, sorry, I can't actually see what's on the screen right now. The version that you should have up there has the date on from 1st of May, but it's been actually updated since, so it should say 22nd. So it's the version that I sent out to the group on the 22nd of June, and that should be in the AC right now.
Okay. So I have sometimes my doubts on how we can reference documents, but let's say the one that was sent out should be in an email from Lars on June 22nd, and I guess it will be referenced in the wiki somewhere. We'll try to pin it down for the record. And the question to the room is if we can freeze the two-letter code discussion for the time being and assume that this document is a consensus document out of the working group and should be part of the final document. I hear no comments. That's so. I would like to continue then with the agenda. A few weeks ago, staff distributed a questionnaire on the three-letter codes. Questionnaire is a very interesting exercise because it speaks of what methodology we should follow. This is a big step. I think the two-letter codes was not a methodology. It was just a list. We have the whole explanation of why this list became the rule. On the three-letter codes, we have developed a few options, which is continue using the list of three-letter codes, or develop some rules which are more general than just using a list. Olaf, Lars, or Natalie, if possible, to put it on the screen.
This is Carlos. Sorry, Carlos, this is Lars. I'm trying to get back into the AC, and I will ask Natalie to put it up. Just give me 1 second.
No problem. We have developed six options along the lines, first keeping the list as a rule also for the three-letter codes, then opening a little bit of the three-letter codes as long as they are not in conflict with the list, and then opening furthermore all the options as long as there are no similarities, up to just open up the use of three-letter codes. And we have had some very interesting comments, great participation of the CCNSO people, and we have a range of options. I would comment again to open the discussion. The first question I would put forward is if we are going to stick to a list, or if we are going to develop some rules or a framework or a methodology as per the charter. The second issue that I see as the general comment on the list is that we are still stuck with just one list, the ISO list, and in the process of comments we have heard about other lists. At least I have heard about UNESCO, a list of UNESCO that was referred to as source for cultural and linguistical regions. And a third comment is that a few people have said that we should forget the list altogether. It's too late, basically, and let the market decide. And the last comment I would put forward is how do we deal with the ISO? These are major lines that I see, and we'd like to open up for comment how we proceed with the three-letter codes. Heather Forrest, please.
Good morning, Carlos. Thank you very much. Hello, everyone. I appreciate Carlos's summary of the comments received to date, and it seems we have a fairly broad range of views. One of the things, I suppose, that we need to note as we transition to this issue of three-letter codes is that we don't have, if you like, I perhaps don't want to use the word tradition, but we don't have the existing practice that's probably the right phrase to use. We don't have the existing practice of reserving three-letter codes on the basis of a single standard, as Carlos has noted. And that creates challenges then, given that our rationale for the conclusions that we've come to in relation to two-letter codes were based on exactly that, based on existing practice and adoption of an external standard. I think we want to bear in mind the comments that were raised in relation to two-letter codes, IANA's longstanding tradition of not wanting to determine what is or is not a country. That at least encourages me, and I would expect encourages many, given the force of the comments in relation to two-letter codes, away from drafting a new list from an ICANN-developed sui generis definition of what is a country or territory. With that in mind, I would suggest that we direct our attention to existing standards, not just lists, but standards, picking up on the language that YAP has encouraged us to use in relation to the ISO 3166 list, that it's not a list but a standard, I would direct our attention to that. If we have existing standards in use in environments outside of ICANN to represent these things, then that's a good place to start. But I would hesitate for ICANN to be attempting to adopt its own definition. Thank you.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, Carlos, I can hear you.
Yes, thank you. It's just Natalie was asking me to check my audio. Thank you, Jordi, for the explanation about the list. If there is no comment to Heather's commentary right now, I would like to go one step further in very specific comments that people have made, and I think it was Colin O'Brien and Roman Malinowski from Poland. But they have mentioned that there is already another type of precedent, and this type of precedent is the delegation of the Ciliary Code at the second level, where we have opened the possibility to government to give their views. This is similar to Section 3, or more or less. And I see that at least two of the people that may commence the thriller code open up the window should be going to a round of wider consultation, I would say, and should we ask, if some thriller code should be recorded as reserved, and I just want to also record that specific comment about the databases, because I see a precedent already at the second level. Although that's not our target in the working group, we're working only at the first level. There is obviously the possibility that the government will come up with this situation and ask why you don't ask government. But again, today we don't have the GAC liaison with us here today, but just keep it in mind. Thank you very much for helping me. Yep, please. Yep, can you hear me? You have raised your hand. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Bob, I had a problem with my system. That's why I couldn't react earlier. So, yes, I hope you can hear me now properly.
Very well, yeah. Thank you.
There's one comment I wanted to make for a start, which joins Heather's comment. And what we probably should do is see what the current practice is, and really write that down, because it is somewhat confusing, and if you look at, some people made it as well, if you look at how it's done currently, it's kind of a mixed bag of traditional, the .com example. And there are some rules in the guidebook, but I'm not really sure, and they refer to 3166, but if you really look closely, even the last batch of GTODs is not really following those rules. Things like XYC should actually be disallowed according to the guidebook. But so maybe it's really good to have a proper look at what is there, what is already there, and where the inconsistencies are. On the subject of other standards, there are an awful lot. The fun of standard is there are so many you can choose from. And people, playing mids and mid-max is a bit of a challenge. You find standards from the FIPS 1040 thing. The Olympic Committee has a standard of three character codes, which slightly differs from the FIFA standard of the three character codes. There is the NATO three character codes, which kind of follows the ISO, but not completely. And I mean, I can, if you want, I can send a complete list for the inventorization of that. But you have to wonder. Yet, if you use all of them, you're sure that it will be inconsistent. And so, you have to watch what you, well, yeah, which standard you look at.
Thank you. Thank you, Jaap. Heather, would you like to comment?
Thank you, Carlos. Thank you, Jaap, for your comments. At this stage, my thinking is I would like for us, if it's possible, I'm not sure what the mechanisms are, and given that cross-community working groups are still a relatively new beast within the ICANN community, I would feel more comfortable if we had some community input, to the extent that there's a mechanism to do that, on our approach to two-letter codes before we go too far down in relation to three-letter codes. I'm not suggesting that we halt and down tools, but I would appreciate having some broader feedback from outside of this group before we apply that rationale or try and develop a new rationale in relation to three-letter codes. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. If there are no other comments, then let me comment. I fully understand your recommendation, and as I said at the beginning, we have done pretty good work on the two-letter codes, and we should bring it as soon as possible. But to commentaries of everybody, I hate to say that on the other hand, as some of the commenters have mentioned, there is already a wide open practice in three-letter codes and city names and etc. And there are other discussions on which I think are very important, which is the linguistic issue. We have assigned three-letter codes to some linguistic areas, not called the political areas like Catalonia, but they're crying hard. And we face this question of the IDNs. And I saw during the Buenos Aires meeting the impact that some countries have in terms of having multiple languages. And I worry that we stop the process and we cannot continue discussing, not based on geography and political entities, that we make not enough progress on linguistical, cultural, and IDN issues. That will be my only commentary to what you just said, Heather. And I give back to Jaap.
Given that there are already quite some things and done and not done, having some idea what the current rules are and or the current policy or whatever is, even if it is inconsistent, to write it down first and then turn over, that would help if to straight out where the inconsistencies are, I think. And then it's much easier to ask the rest of the community which directions you should go to. because Elsa keeps circling around the inconsistencies without having it really noted down. I mean, why? Let's take first the inventory. I mean, some things are not clear. What people don't realize and know is, for instance, that there are also reserved three-letter codes, at least according to ISO 3166. And so they might or might not play a role.
Thank you. Yeah. I want to comment. I want to take my co-chair hat away and make a comment to Heather's proposal of making a consultation on the two-letter code. I would be ready to do that as long as we include in this document some kind of recommendation for the IDM. I mean, if we say, okay, this is the world, this is the two-letter code world at the first level, and it is solid, and it has a long tradition, and for that we assume it should be remained like this, independently of what happens with three-letter codes and names. But we also recommend to make it go forward with the IDNs in terms of three-letter codes. With that, I would feel good about going into a consultation, but the way it's presented now, just the facts and the tradition and just going to consultation, I would hate to say I think we will be losing precious time in terms of what the other parts of the world which are starting to test IDNs are doing. I think we need, at least for the IDNs, we need to take a position. And then I would consider recommending going for a consultation on two-letter codes and say, okay, we stop our charter in two-letter codes. But then we have to add a few things to the document. Inconsistencies, as Yap said, and from my point of view, a position or a recommendation what the IDN should be about. Thank you. Bart, please go ahead.
Carlos, could you explain what you consider the issues around IDNs? If you go back to the study group and the study group report, there is, say, and if you look at the definition at least, or the potential for overlap between the use of country and territory names in local languages or IDNs, I agree it's quite an issue, but say comparing those currently with the three letter codes and standards is a bit old. Yeah, I think it's putting something in this phase of the project which needs to be addressed at a later stage. Because if you talk about three-letter codes, etc., there is already an assumption of ASCII.
Yes, thank you. Maybe I wasn't clear enough, Bart. What I mean is I would strongly recommend to countries working on IDNs to reserve two-letter codes only. And don't worry about three-letter codes. Let the three-letter codes out of the scope and say, we. I don't know how to spell it out or if it makes sense, but I would say we recommend CCTLDs or registries and registrars working with all those scripts to limit, to reserve only two-letter codes for countries and territories. I didn't mean to expand the horizon, but just to give a clear sense of direction that we recommend only two-letter codes to be reserved for
I don't know if that answers your question, Bart.
It does, but because, say, what effectively you're saying is that the CCMSO needs to revisit its overall policy for the selection of IDNs.
Which I think it's urgent, yes. I think this is
in the sense
urgent.
Of if you in the sense of if you look at the overall policy which is recommended, it talks about a meaningful representation of the name of the country in a local language, not being and using a non-Latin Latin script. It's a bit more subtle than this, and for reasons of practicality, we could not. It was not restricted to two-letter codes because they sometimes are confusingly similar to existing two letters in the ISO 3166 code already. And what you see, there are some IDN CCTLDs with at least three letter codes or three letters.
Thank you for the explanation, and it might be an inconsistency under YAP's definition, but then let's test the inconsistency. In ASCII, we recommend two-letter codes. In other scripts, we recommend 2 to 3-letter codes, and see what the implications of this is. But I really don't want I understand Heather's recommendation. I think it makes a lot of sense. It will freeze the two-letter codes of the ISO list, but unless there is a way to do it pretty fast, the only worry I have about this procedure is on the IDN side, if that helps me explain my position. Heather, I don't know if you want to comment on that. I can accept any critique.
Carlos, this is Heather. No, I think I don't disagree with what you said. My concern is simply that in the current environment, look, I had this concern with the study group as well. There's a few of us that really, really care about this issue enough to put the time into it by participating in this group. And yet, when it comes to making decisions, suddenly the entire ICANN community is interested in this. They're not interested in phone calls every 2 weeks and the level of effort that we've put in. But there is finger-pointing when decisions get made, and we didn't have that stress with the study group because we really weren't there as such to make decisions. Given the sensitivity of this, for all of the reasons that you've identified, Carlos, for these other interests that exist in relation to three-letter codes that perhaps don't exist in relation to two-letter codes, I really would like to take some community guidance on this. I'd like to take the pulse of the community. I'd like to know where we are now. I agree wholeheartedly with YAP, and indeed that's what our options paper says, status quo. What is the status quo? We need to know that before we move forward. Let's take the time to do that. So perhaps what we do is to not stop our work, to be able to progress. Let's polish up what we have in relation to two-letter codes. It seems to me that this group is fairly comfortable. There was certainly nothing, no comments raised in opposition with what we've done in relation to two-letter codes. Let's put that out. Let's ask the community, you know, not just to focus on a conclusion, but to focus on the methodology, how have we gotten to where we are now. In the meantime, we then work on capturing, articulating, writing down the status quo on three-letter codes. So when we have the community's feedback on two, we then turn around and say, thanks very much. We make whatever adjustments we need to, and here's where we are on three-letter codes. And then there's already that existing dialogue with the community, if you like, and a sign of good faith that after 18 months, this group has come to something, and here's what we'd like to do going forward. So I don't disagree with you, Carlos. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. I would like to go back to staff. Would this be the kind of report that that goes to open comments, or is this a preliminary report, or this would be a final report on a section of the charter? Do we need to are we splitting the charter in two, or do you think, Lars, that we have enough material to come up with Heather's suggestion? Lars, please. Yes.
Thank you, Carlos. This is Lars for the record. Now, what I would suggest is something we do in GNSO working groups is send out just a request for input to the SOACs and also to the GNSO's stakeholder groups and constituencies, and just tell them, look, we are working. Usually we put the whole charter to those groups, but we can certainly, I don't see a reason why we couldn't just take a part of the charter out and say we're working on this part of the charter at the moment. And before we dive into the substance, we'd just like to gauge your take on this issue, and we can even include, which is done, specific questions that we'd like them to answer, or just have an open call for comment. And that could go out and would be for us to set the deadline, and obviously responses are voluntary. But experience shows that you usually get a decent return on investment.
Can you repeat the last sentence, please, Lars? Experience shows that?
Oh, that the return rate of answers is you get a good return of investment. So there's not everybody will reply, but there's normally a fair amount of diverse responses.
Bart, please.
Say, from a CCNSO perspective, we say the working group has all the flexibility it needs. So there is either, say, it's the preference and up to the working group how they want to solicit comments, as long as it's communicated properly to the community.
Thank you, Bart. Lars, you want to comment, please?
Yeah, just to add to what Bart just said. Obviously, well, for example, usually we send out a request on the GNSO. We just contact the CCNSO as such, and then it's up to them to distribute. Because we have obviously here it's a joint group, so it's naturally we don't ask for a response from the CCNSO. We ask for a response, as we do with the optional paper, from any member of the CCNSO that wishes to respond. So it should be as diverse and open as possible.
Okay. Yes, I see another tactical advantage in proceeding like this with some risks. For me, it includes the assumption that we're going to proceed independently of GAC. And I would almost welcome to proceed independently of GAC, but I don't know if that affects this consultation process. We have spent 6 months or longer trying to get closer to GAC without any response, and moving ahead without their participation and so on might be a bold step, but I would hate if it would backfire. Please, Heather.
Thanks, Carlos. I just wanted to make a bit of a comment. I suspect it's on our agenda, but one of the action items that came out of Buenos Aires was the result of a request that we made of the chairs of the CCNSO and GNSO, Byron and Jonathan, to put their heads together and see if they couldn't communicate directly with the chair of the GAC to encourage communications between the two groups. And I understand that there is a communication that's in progress that should be sent out in the very near future. Now, I think, Carlos, I'll perhaps read your mind a little bit and say I don't know how personally I feel useful that's going to be, whether it's going to change what's currently happening. However, that is certainly in train. I would like to think that communication would be out before, well before Dublin whether that changes the working relationship between the two groups, and I don't really mean our working relationship in terms of openness to the GAC. I mean the other way around. I won't hold my breath. However, we have done everything that we can to try and facilitate that relationship. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, I think it makes sense, Heather. Nevertheless, we are meeting the two co-chairs from the CCNSO, so I would suggest that we wrap up your recommendation and submit it to review by the two CCNSO co-chairs. I myself would like to go back to the last draft of May 1st or June 22nd draft to check that it is complete, that it is not out of context. I would suggest that we take that decision with the group in 2 weeks. What do you think, Heather?
Carlos, I'm happy to support that approach. I think that's a good way to go forward.
I would like to see if somebody else in the room wants to comment on this. Yes, Lars, please.
Thank you, Carlos. Hey, Carlos, this is Lars. I'm just wondering on the feedback and checking with the CCNSO co-chairs, should we send out a note to the list and to set what's been discussed and then see whether there's any objections and then we can proceed? Because we can prepare, if everybody's okay, we can prepare the letter within a couple of days and then send to the group for review and then send it out as soon as possible. It's up to you. We don't have to wait 2 weeks for that. I think it's something we can do on the list.
No, exactly. I see the 2 weeks just to review and ask the questions and so on, and in 2 weeks say, yes, let's go ahead. But that requires sending the letter to the group. I agree with you. I would request a call with the co-chairs to explain this very clearly and get their support, and I would use the 2 weeks to also review your document. If anybody in the group wants to make a comment to this document that is going to go for this consultation, they should do it before the next call in 2 weeks. And then in 2 weeks we have all elements and we just flag, green flag, we go ahead. I don't want to have a discussion in 2 weeks. I just want to have everything ready, the letter out, the call with my co-chairs, and some time for myself to look at the document. If that's okay. Heather, is this a new hand?
Carlos, that's fine with me. Yeah, I think it's a good idea to for those who aren't on this call, because there are some folks missing on this call that are normally with us, I think it's helpful that they have a chance to at least approve the idea of what we're proposing here, that we're going to take this out to the community. We give everyone a chance, picking up on my email that I sent 12 hours or so ago, saying, you know, this doesn't foreclose your comment on the document. You put some time around that and say, look, you know, if you'd like to comment within the next 2 weeks, please do so. We plan for this to go out to the community. If not, go ahead and comment after it goes out to the community. And let's get this out and show that we've done some progress, made some progress, and move on. So I'm happy with what's being proposed.
Okay. This is, I think, very consistent with what you just said, Lars. Would you agree? We will prepare the letter anyhow to the whole group and proceed like that.
Yes, it sounds good, Carlos.
Okay, thank you. I would like to remind that also in the last call, we weren't all there, all the co-chairs, and it fell rather short, which was okay 2 weeks ago, and I don't want to procrastinate on this issue, but I think it's a very reasonable way to proceed. If that solves point four of the agenda, it means that the comments on the three-letter codes are not wasted. We're going to continue to discuss the three-letter codes. I think we have to consolidate a little bit the comments. I made a first intent to consolidate the major messages. I will draft them and send them to Lars to see if we can put that together, so we don't lose track of the comments that were submitted today. If somebody else wants to make the comment on point four of the agenda, on the three-letter code, as I propose, please go ahead. If not, I will continue then with the last point of the agenda, and that we are only months away from meeting face-to-face. I guess we will have a face-to-face meeting of the working group in Dublin. I would expect that the Monday at the usual time, Lars. Can we get that spot guaranteed?
Sorry, Carlos, I've got problems with my internet connection tonight, so I can't raise my arm. I'm out of the room at the moment. So, yes, for Dublin, we just want to confirm that the group is wanting to meet face-to-face, and exactly as you said, I would suggest the Monday time slot that we had at the last meeting as well. I think that worked well. But I'll suggest I'll send a little note to the mailing list to see if anybody objects, and then we'll put in the request and we'll hope we get the slot again.
Now, we might find ourselves in a limbo between the comments to the two-letter code chapter and the three-letter code. I don't know exactly what the agenda would be. Heather, if you want to comment on that.
Apologies, Carlos. I was typing a comment in the chat to Lars about the meeting. Tell me again. Ask me again.
If we send out the first chapter, the two-letter code chapter, for comments, depending on the time limit we put, we might find ourselves in Dublin between finishing the comment period on three-letter codes and not knowing if we are going to continue with the three-letter codes or not. So I'm a little bit worried what the agenda would be at the face-to-face meeting.
Fair enough. Look, I think face-to-face meetings in the past, I've found the face-to-face meetings most valuable in a sense that when we're around the room, we're a bit more open with our comments. I think there are folks that put things into the chat that perhaps aren't keen to speak up in a 40-minute call. I've just found in the history of this group that we get quite solid input when we have face-to-face, and I think it also gives an opportunity for the local internet community in that geographical region where we're meeting, folks who aren't on this call, to join us and to hear what we're doing. So rather than lose the visibility, I think, and particularly given that we'll have public comment out to the extent that we want to have that transparency and accountability, which I always think is a good thing in terms of the community, let's put ourselves in front of the community. And if we don't need the 90 minutes, that's fine. We don't need the 90 minutes, but I'd rather have it there than not. And apologies, I have an early morning lecture this morning, so I'm going to have to drop off. But I appreciate the opportunity to give input in the call, and we'll look forward to hearing from everyone on the list. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Heather. Good luck with your lecture. Okay, for everybody else, I mean, this is a great improvement. The last call was only 30 minutes. This one has increased by 15 minutes. We still don't have the co-chairs of the CCNSO. That's a pity we still don't have. But I don't want to spend your time anymore unless somebody has an additional comment to make. You've heard Lars will prepare a letter that will go very soon out to the group. and hoping that in 2 weeks everybody will have agreed to this proposed consultation on the two-letter code, and we will send it out very soon after the next meeting. So last call, if there aren't any comments, I really want to thank the people who made comments to the three-letter code. We will prepare the summary for the next meeting also, and thank you very much.
Bye.
Thanks, Carlos. Bye, everyone.
Thank you, Lars. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Richard. That concludes today's call. You may now stop the recording.